Not yours tonight. He wants to be. I'll tell you right now, he's a loving Savior. I don't know if he found me or I found him. I know one thing. I'm glad that I know him. Amen. And one thing about him, the only fault he got, he loves sinners. Amen. Friend of sinners. All right, we got some special singing tonight. Praise the Lord.
I don't know how special it is, and I'm not much of a singer, and everybody here knows me, know that. But I've just been thinking this week, you know, we're coming to the time of the season and year that, you know, families get together, and Thanksgiving and Christmas, and these special times of the year are coming, and when families get together with meals and things of that nature. And normally, the mother's the one that, you know, is responsible or in charge of the cooking. That's the way it was in my day.
Amen.
It's changed a lot nowadays. We got these stay-home dads and babysitting dads, and mama's the breadwinner. I believe they got it reversed. Do you? I think they got it reversed. Well, I don't get any amens on that, do I? I just don't hardly believe that's the way it was originally supposed to be, but that's the way it is nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so that's the way it is. But I can remember in my younger days and years, my young life, one of the greatest thrills of my life was my mother. And this song, it's supper time. Everybody knows it's an old song. It's got three, if you notice these verses, there are three things that it talks about in there that brings fond memories back to us. Many today, and a lot of you are here, are fortunate enough and blessed. May I use the word blessed rather than just fortunate, but blessed to have your mother still with you. And of those of us who don't, all we have is those memories. But I'm glad for them today.
Amen.
Because they, you know, there's something that, you know, man can't take away from you.
Mm-hmm.
It's in our minds and conscience. Mm-hmm. So I want you to listen to this song, not how we sing it. I'm no singer.
Listen.
And I like this song. Two or three songs I like that are real special to me. But listen to this one. Supper's on the table, boys. Come and eat. That's a memory that we cherish dearly. But I want you to listen to this one. Those good days, those days that we enjoyed then, they come to a close. You know, there's an old saying that all good things
come to an end.
Come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
And so listen to this second verse. One day beside her bedside I was kneeling. An angel's wings were wide awake the air. She heard the call for supper time in heaven. And now I know she's waiting for me there. This is one that when we may get to thinking of that loved one that's gone on, and it brings back memories. Sometimes it brings tears to our eyes and saddened hearts. But then when you think of this one, this verse here, oh, listen, I'm thankful for the hope that we as Christians have. Not only hope for ourselves, but hope in the Lord for those that have gone on to be with Him, in being able to receive the promise that God has made to them that love and serve Him. Listen to this last verse. In visions now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The angel. I'm like Brother James. These words are getting, letters are getting smaller, I think. Linda made this for me today, and she must have thought I've got magnifying glasses. Let's start that verse over.
Okay. Now you see why I am good.
We need I tell you what we need. We need another light.
Yeah, that's right.
We need some more lighting up here. Yeah. I'm going to stand over on this side. I don't like it. All right. In visions now I see her standing yonder, and her familiar voice I hear once more. The banquet table's ready up in heaven. It's supper time upon the golden shore. Come home, it's supper time. To that supper time on here. Supper time in heaven.
Bless you, Barney.
We may have meals down here, but we'll never experience anything like that one's going to be there.
Amen. I'm glad God gave out invitations to all. And the Bible mentioned about a certain king made a great supper and he bade many. And people began to make excuses. One said, I bought a piece of ground and I got to go check it out. One said, I bought a yoke of oxen. I got to go prove them. Another one said, I've taken a wife. I don't know why in the world he couldn't bring a wife with him, but some reason or other he said, I've taken a wife, and therefore I can't come. Therefore have me excused. But I want you to know, the king invited them. And a lot of people give God a lot of excuses, but there won't be none sufficient. Let's turn our Bibles tonight. Galatians chapter 5. My thoughts are scattered tonight. Brother Vernon touched on something there I thought was significant. He said back on days gone by, women used to stay at home. I thought about that scripture in Titus chapter number 2, where Paul's writing to this young preacher, and he talked about that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home. So I guess that was scripture there he's talking about. Seemed like that's the way it used to be. I still remember my dad going out on the front porch and hollering my name out. There was a cold chill running down my spine as I took off running, breakneck speed, trying to get home before he had to say my name twice. But they didn't have cell phones back then. It'd probably be good if we didn't have them today. I don't know if for that much of a benefit or not. But my dad, he'd bellow out my name, Eddie! And I took off, no matter what I was doing, I dropped it and took off running. Because if he said my name twice, but I'll tell you what, it was going to be rough. Now, Daddy, he once said one time, you better be there pretty quick. We'd be playing hide and seek or football, and I'd just take off. I said, where are you going? I'm going home. All right, let's Galatians chapter 5. Good to have everyone here tonight. We'll read 10 verses here, Galatians chapter 5. And we'll start verse number 1. Paul here writing to the church in Galatia. And he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now, he said quite a bit right here. I know it's going to go over your head and go over my head. What he's saying right here is to a church, and he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty where Christ hath made us free, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. He said, behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none other wise minded, but that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. We'll stop that reading right there. I guess I'll draw from that an unusual text. And I do desire your prayers tonight, but I want to try to preach tonight. And when I say I want to try to preach tonight, I certainly mean when I say I desire your prayers tonight. I want to preach tonight on men that finished their work. And pray with me tonight. Father, we thank you for these that are here tonight. Lord, it would have been good if, Lord, a multitude could have been here tonight, Father. Lord, we've already been blessed. And Lord, we believe, Lord, that you'll continue to bless through this service how needy and poor we are. Lord, of mercy drops, and we pray that, Lord, you would bountifully, Lord, visit our hearts tonight from on high. Lord, may we see ourselves from the mirror of the Word of God as just men. Men, Lord, that have been forgiven. Men that have been saved. Men, Lord, that have a small part in a large work. I pray we be mindful of our part and do our best to fulfill it. And Lord, I pray you forgive me my sins. Pray you wash and clean me from all sin. And Lord, I pray you anoint me from on high that I might be fit for your use tonight. Whatever you do, Lord, we give you praise. And we'll ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul mentioned this church here, this church in Galatia. What happened was they got entangled again in works and law, a lot of people and churches do. But one thing he said to this church in verse 7, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And I had an old diesel truck one time, and I wasn't really paying attention one day. I stopped to put some diesel in it. I went in there and paid for it, told them I was going to get $20 worth of diesel. And I went out there, not really paying attention to what I was doing, looking around. I put $20 worth of gas in that diesel truck, and I was taking my trash to the dump, and started down that road, and I was running pretty good, and the truck just kept getting slower and slower. I thought, boy, something's wrong here, something's wrong bad. And Brother James had to pull that truck over, and it finally just quit on me. And it took me a long time to figure out what was wrong with it. But when I did figure out what was wrong with it, I had to drain that fuel out and put some diesel in there before it run right. And And I'll tell you right now, I learned something, man. It did run well. What in it is, I put gas and a diesel in it. And I thought, well, I'll get around this. I'll take what I'm just saying now. That put it in my old Massey Ferguson tractor, and it didn't like it neither. That three-cylinder Perkins diesel, didn't like it neither. So I've still got that fuel out there in the barn. If anybody knows how to separate gas from diesel, you let me know, and I'll make good use of it. But you know, we're kind of like this. You got to put the right stuff in, or we ain't going to run well neither, Molly. And I tell you right now, best thing I know is Jesus. Best thing I know, boy, is a good diet of the Word of God. And the Bible tells us not to let it part my eyes. It tells us keep it in the midst of our heart. And I tell you right now, the Bible won't lead you one way. It'll lead you the right way. And it's the only thing that will lead you the right way, man.
Right.
But this church kind of got sidetracked there a little bit. Kind of got I guess kind of out of the will of God a little bit. Paul being the master builder, probably started this church, dressing this church. He mentioned one thing here, and you know, you can look back over at Galatians chapter number 1. You can see really what he's talking about here in Galatians chapter number 1. He mentioned here in verse number 6. He said, I marvel if you are so soon removed from him that called you under the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ. For though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than unto that which I've preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. What happened was, they traded the truth for a lie. You can find this in Acts chapter number 15, a little bit probably in greater detail what we're talking about here. But let me tell you something, boy, the Lord led the church. He bought it with his own blood. And I tell you right now, it's a good church. And the church's going to make it. It's going to make it all the way. But one thing, you got to stay on track. And he said, buddy, you did run well. But who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? When I think about men that finished their work, I'll mention three from the Old Testament. And I'll mention three from the New Testament. Try not to be too long tonight. But the Bible said in Exodus chapter 40, verse 33, that Moses finished the work that God told him to do. God gave him a pattern, how to build the tabernacle, told him every single thing that was to be done. I guess you could throw Noah in there, he did it too. But the Bible said Moses finished the work that God gave him to do. In 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 14, it says Solomon finished the work of building the temple, and it was so great a work, the Bible said there wasn't no sign of hammer or tool heard, everything just fit. And then last one here, Ruth, chapter 3, verse 18, Naomi talking about Boaz, she said he won't rest till he finishes the thing he needs to do. Now I want you to know, buddy, it's one thing to start with God, but how are you going to finish? I think, buddy, we ought to be serious about how we're going to finish. The Bible says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning. I've seen a lot of people, Brother Vernon, and they hit the ground running. They didn't make it very far, but I mean, it was, woo! Yahoo! They didn't make it too far in the cold. They made it just a little ways. It's a long journey, honey. The Bible says run the race with patience. It's not important that you're the first one to finish. What's important is that you finish.
Right.
I've seen people, I mean, they could preach circles around me and their eyes, I reckon they thought, you know, that there's a modern day prophet. I don't know, Carl. But I'll tell you one thing. It's not so important how great you are, how big you are. What's important is that you stay on track and that you finish the things that God gives you to do. Every one of us has work. The Bible says, being confident of this, that He has begun a good work in you. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. We'll continue to the day of Christ Jesus. What are you, Brother Eddie? I'm kind of a work in progress. I'm learning a little more. I'm growing a little more. One day I'll reach that measure, statue of perfection. I'll reach a statue of maturity. But until then, I'll tell you what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to war a good warfare. I'm supposed to put on the armor of God. I'm supposed to, having done all, to stand there with. I'll tell you right now, there are a lot of people falling out. A lot of people falling by the wayside. A lot of people giving up. Throwing up a white flag. Somebody sung a song. I want to die on the battlefield. I don't care how you feel about it. I'll just tell you one thing, but I'm in this battle, amen.
Right.
Some people said, I don't want to die on the battlefield. Some said I want to. I ain't got no dog in that fight, but I'll tell you one thing. I want to be in the battle. I don't want to be one of those that runs. I want to be one of those buddies. I'll tell you what, that stands. The Bible talks about a man named Shema. Everybody else took off running. No, Shema didn't run. He stood his ground, Brother Carl. And the Bible said by him, the Lord slew 300 Philistines, one man of God. And you'd be surprised how much God could do. We just stand our ground. Amen. We quit tugging our tail and running. But I'll tell you what, buddy. Oh, Moses, buddy, he finished the work. Solomon finished the work. Boaz finished the work. One chapter dedicated to one man, a man named Stephen. He only got to preach one message. Acts chapter number 6 said they chose Stephen, a man full of faith. But in Acts chapter number 7, he let it go, boy. And he wasn't one of them ear ticklers. He didn't have no lace on his underwear. I mean, buddy, he come out, buddy, and I mean, he let her go. And their hearts was pricked. The Bible says their hearts were pricked. They was cut to the heart, and that's the way preaching is. The Bible said the Word of God's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. I've been pricked in my heart before. Been a few times, I tell you what, buddy, I found out God's bigger than me. I found out, buddy, the Word of God was bigger than me. I found out, buddy, I do well just to let God be God and the Word of God be the Word of God and me just be the putty of the clay or whatever. But I tell you what, old Stephen got up there, buddy, and I mean he let it rip, amen. And buddy, they had enough, Brother Melvin. The Bible said they run up on him with one accord, gnashed on him with their teeth, and they drug him out to this place and they stoned him. And as they stoned him, Sister Carolyn, they heard this man of God make a profound statement. He said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. They laid down their clothes at the feet of a man named Paul. And I do believe Paul took the place of Stephen. That's just something between me and him. But I'll tell you what, he preached one message to the people and immediately was stoned to death. But he didn't back down. He didn't compromise. And I'll tell you what, buddy, he finished the work. God gave him the death. Wasn't a very long work, but he done it, amen. He told it like it was, amen. He said, you stiff-necked, uncircumcised, you do as your fathers did, amen. That's the kind of preaching. I'll tell you what, it may not all help you, but I'll tell you what to do, get your attention. Amen. 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 Stephen, what a man. Only got to preach one message, but boy, look at that message. Amen. I want to read this. I ain't going to quote this because this is the one I want to spend a little time on. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul here, he's in prison. He's in prison for the right reason. Man, he went about, I'll tell you what, buddy, preaching none other than Jesus Christ, Him crucified, and the world hated it. They hated Him because of Jesus. But here he is in this prison. Man, they done told him, buddy, we're going to cut your head off tomorrow. Somebody tell me they're going to cut my head off. I'm going to say just like Paul did here in verse number 6. He said, for I'm now ready to be offered. Someone said, and I just heard this, so that's all I know. Someone said Paul ran out there and laid his head down that chopping block, Carolyn. Said, finally going home. Now, I'll tell you what, I've been working on this head for February be 60 years and I ain't gained no ground. But I'll tell you what, I regret. It's all I've got that I could give for the glory of God. And I'll tell you what, buddy, if it comes down to it, I'll lay this old what's left of this noggin down there and they can do whatever they want to with it. I won't have to part no hair no more. Won't have to do anything no more. Just let her go. Amen. Kind of like opening a Coca-Cola bottle. I'll make my exit, amen. My granddaughter brought me one of them 7-Ups this morning. It's kind of red looking. Said, here, open this pipe. She must have been over shaking. I don't know. I turned it. It blew up all over the place. I had it all over me. She had it all over her. I said, you shake it? She said, no. And I thought, well, just, you know, clean it up and dry it up. But old Paul here, he said, I'm now ready to be offered. He said, the time my departure is at hand. I told my pastor, I said, Brother Rick, I'd like for you to preach my funeral if you live longer than I do. And I said, if you don't care, I said, this is a text I'd like for you to read at my funeral. I said, if it's not true, then don't read it. But if I do stay true, I want you to use this text at my funeral. And I said, I'm not trying to meddle here, but it's my heart's desire. If it is true at my funeral, I hope you can say that I fought a good fight. I finished my course.
Amen.
I kept the faith. It'll cost you something. It'll cost you something. If you go all the way. If you go all the way, it'll cost you something. It's not no picnic.
I don't know how many times my pastor's told me, he said, I've resigned on Sunday night, reenlisted on Monday morning.
Yeah, I have to.
It's not no picnic. Not all people build it up to be, but I'll tell you one thing, if there was one worthy, Jesus is worthy.
Amen.
He's worthy greater than I can give. There were some parents who had two young boys, they loved them. They gave their hearts to Jesus. And there was a man bought an island. He's an atheist, most atheists want an island, somewhere they can get away from all the preaching, all the tracts and the visitation. Anyway, Brother Anthony, this atheist bought this island. He wouldn't let no one on this island that knew the Lord. And these two young boys, they sold themselves to be slaves to this man. With the hearts broke, Mom and Dad's down there at the seashore and they're getting on the boat to leave. Nicole, Rachel. And as the boat's pulling off and they're crying, the boys said, "He's worthy to receive the reward of his suffering." And that's the last time they saw them two boys. They went out there to give themselves for the cause of one soul, Brother Carl. I'll tell you what, I wore a lot of shoe leather out. I've knocked on many a door. I've been spit on. I guess if it could be told, all that's been said about me could be piled up. Probably scare some. Don't bother me a bit. I'll tell you one thing. I hope it's true. I hope one day my pastor could stand there, reside over my body at a funeral home and say, "Eddie fought a good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith." I'll tell you one thing. It'll be a challenge to do that. It won't be easy, amen. But the man that said this, he said it could be done. He said, "I'm now ready to be offered." He said, "The time my departure's at hand." He said, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith," amen. Paul's one of those men that finished the work that God called him to do. Paul, not only a very learned man, but he didn't know Jesus. But I'm glad Jesus wanted to know him. Back then his name was Saul, Carl. The Bible said that he went out breathing threatenings against those that bore that name Jesus and run into the head. On the road to Damascus, as he's going breathing out threatenings, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter number 9 that there was a bright light in the way. And a voice spoke to him and said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" People that don't know the Lord, like Saul, ask this question, "Who art thou, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus." I'm glad he stood my way, Rachel. I was on my way to hell. If he hadn't stood my way, I'd have made it. I still remember that night you come forward. He's that kind of God, amen. I told a man today, I said, "I'll tell you one thing, if you can repent, he'll receive you. If you can ask him, he'll forgive you. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, if you don't, you ain't going to." I told him, I said, "I wouldn't pillow my head tonight. Take a chance." Like that rich man, Luke chapter 16, the Bible said in hell he lifted up his eyes. I wouldn't lift up my eyes in hell. I'd rather have my eyes lifted up in heaven, amen. But Paul said, "I fought a good fight. I've kept the course. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course," amen. I don't know how many times I myself, I ain't nobody, probably the littlest dog in the fight. I remember one day in particular though, over at Bethel Baptist Church, and I don't know, I must have been having a pity party, I guess. I remember the devil come over and sit down beside me. I wish this wasn't true, but I was right for what he said. You know what he said to me, Bobby? He said, "I'd leave if I was you." He said, "That's showing. I come pretty close to leaving." I did. And I thought I had my righteous indignation. I mean, that's right. Amen. I just wonder how many more have entertained a thought like that from the devil. I'd leave. You know, I'll tell you what. Someone once said, it's not the size of the dog in the fight, but the size of the fight in the dog. I saw a little dog whoop a big dog one day. I had a black Labrador retriever, and that dog could whoop any dog. It'd whoop four or five at a time. And there was a little lazy beagle hound. My dog jumped on that beagle hound and it bit him through the lip. And my dog couldn't do nothing. I had to prize that beagle hound off of him. He couldn't do a thing. That beagle hound had him through the lip and wouldn't let go. And it was my cousin's dog. He thought it was funny, but I thought, man, my dog whooped 10 dogs like that. And here is big Labrador Retriever, would look like a fool. had a bigger hound hanging off his lip. And I had to go down there and get the sorry thing free, amen. But I wish we had some of that tenacity. I wish we wouldn't back down. I wish we wouldn't give up. I wish we wouldn't throw in the towel. I wish we'd go all the way. Well, God's looking for some men that'll go all the way. Man, I'll tell you what, won't listen to nothing but God. Man, I'll tell you what, with a backbone like a saw log, with fortitude, I'll tell you what, that's yet to be seen, because only God can bring it out. Paul had that. He said, but I kept the faith, amen. I finished my course, amen. Well, I'm telling you what, I hope my pastor can preach at my funeral. I'll think of one more that finished his course. Jesus said in John chapter 17, verse 4, He said, I've finished the work. Talking to His Father, He said, I've finished the work that Thou gavest me to do. You know, God gave you a work. I may not be nothing but the keeper of the door, but I'd rather be a doorkeeper and dwell in tents of the wicked, brother. I may not be much, but I'll tell you one thing, I want to be all I can, amen. I may not be the biggest dog in the fight. I just want to know I'm in. Amen. I might just sit over and bark a little bit. And I might run, but not far, not fast. So I'll tell you right now, but I'm in this thing for the long haul. But Jesus said, I finished the work. God, His Father, He said, I finished. Father, I finished the work Thou gavest me to do. And then John chapter 19, verse 30. After He had endured such a terrible beating, as I was over there to Monica's mother's, this afternoon, there was a man there, and he's a lost man. I was trying to reason with him, get saved, and come to find out there's another woman right beside him. She's a lost woman. I was trying to talk to them. The Bible says he that winneth souls is wise. I was trying to use a little wisdom here. And that man said, I seen that movie they made. I said, you talking about the Passion of Christ? He said, yeah, I seen that thing. I said, that movie, that's a pretty good portrayal of the beating that Jesus endured. You see, by the Jewish scourging, you could only be beaten with 40 stripes, save one, 39 stripes. Because if you went beyond 40, you got beat. So they were real careful not to lay no more than 39 stripes on you. Because if they somehow got mixed up, Carl, and laid 41 stripes on you, then you got beat. But I want you to know Jesus wasn't beat by Jewish scourging. He was beat by a Roman scourging, and they literally tore him to shreds. They tried to kill him, and if they could have, they would have. But Jesus told them beforehand, no man takes my life. I'll lay it down, but I want you to know He endured it, amen. He endured that beating, and I tell you what, after He's beaten beyond recognition, after they spit upon Him, after they ashamed Him, and scoffed at Him, and mocked Him on that cross, Jesus said, it is finished. And gave up the ghost. One day, you will give up the ghost. The Bible said Enoch had a testimony that he pleased God. Well, what kind of testimony you leave behind? Well, your daughter thinks the world of you, brother. I can't tell you everything she said about you, but she thinks the world of you. She really does. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6 says, the glory of the children are their fathers. They think their dad, he's Superman. They think their dad, he hung the moon. They say, well, my dad can whoop your dad. My dad's got this, my dad's got that. But I'll tell you one thing, you'll leave something behind. You'll leave some kind of testimony behind. You know what that testimony, that church of Galatia left behind? They did run well. Man, they's on fire. They's bearing fruit. Man, I'll tell you what, they's growing leaps and bounds. And all of a sudden, somehow, and that's the way it happens, somehow, one blow got delivered, and they stopped bearing fruit. They stalled, and they went no further. Kind of like Lot's wife. She went no further when she looked back. I'm not looking back. I'm looking unto Jesus. The author to finish my faith. The Bible said that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. You want to see a real man. Pilate brought Jesus out. He said, behold the man. What a statement, amen. Well, if we could just be a man when it comes to living for God. It's not for boys. It's not for faint-hearted. I'll tell you what, you'll have to have a hide like a rhinoceros. You'll have to have the armor of God on. You'll have to have your mind made up, no matter what, you're going all the way. Because I'll tell you right now, buddy, Paul said there are many adversaries. Sometimes it don't take but one. I was talking to Janie today. You know what she told me? She said, "Brother Ed, I'm going to be praying for your wife." She said, "I'm going to be praying. She'll be there tonight. I'm looking back at the door. I'm expecting her to walk in here any minute." She said, "I'm going to be praying. She won't be able to keep them coming tonight. I need my wife." I told Janie I did. She said, "Brother Ed, I'm going to be praying for her." And I know Janie's heart. It's pure as a driven snow. And I'll tell you what, Bud, that encouraged me. Don't think I don't get down. I know you do. Don't think I don't get down. I'll tell you right now, I wish a lot of things was different. I wish my son was in church. He wanted to drive my car this afternoon. I told him, I said, "Don't take them signs off that car if you drive it." Amen. He said, "Why not?" I said, "Jesus said, you be ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you." Yeah. I think it's about time, buddy, we let it know we love the Lord. Amen. I'm getting tired of tiptoeing around and trying to act the part, trying to please people that can't be pleased. The only one I know that I need to please, that's Jesus. The Bible tells us to live a life pleasing unto God. And I'll tell you what, with such sacrifices, the Bible said God's well pleased. And I believe God's pleased when men make up their mind and they can't no one change their mind, that they're going to go all the way, man. Amen. This day of compromise, this day of coming to an end. I hear about preachers all the time retiring. Show me that in the Bible. Show it to me. I like no chapter verse. Lewis Arnold, 99 years old, be 100. I heard him preach at Jubilee over at Bethel. Man, I wish my end could be like his. That's what Balaam said about Israel. He said, "Let my end be like his." You want to have an end like that? I'll tell you what, stay with the stuff. Amen? Amen? Stay with it. Stay with the Word of God. Stay on your knees in prayer. I'll tell you what, buddy, stay on fire! Amen. Right. Stay busy. Someone once said, "An idle mind's the devil's workshop." I guess there's probably some truth to that. But the Bible says don't give no place to the devil. Resist him, and he'll flee. I pray all the time in my home. I say, "Lord, fill my home with the Holy Spirit of God. Fill it to the point there's no room for Satan to be able to get his foot in the door. But not just my home. I want my house, this earthly tabernacle, also be full of the Holy Spirit." The Bible said, "Be filled with the Spirit of God." And I'll tell you what, the more full I am, less room I've got for the devil, and less time I've got for him. Amen. But I want you to know, buddy, this is a mile marker, a monumental mile marker in the Bible of some men that finished the work. God gave them the death. And I'll tell you what, buddy, they went all the way, man. He said, "I finished my course. I kept the faith." Amen. You look on the headlines, preacher run off with a piano player. Guy poisoned his wife. Some doctor poisoned his wife so he could have his woman he's having an affair with. I don't know if you call him a girlfriend or what. Well, I'll tell you, what's the day and hour we're living in? It's a sad day. People, God told about Israel, he said they sold themselves to sin. And people, I reckon today, for enough money, if the price is right, I guess, I believe they'd sell out. Michael Combs wrote a song and boy, sung it well. I guess it was about Naboth telling Ahab that he wouldn't sell him his vineyard. I don't know. That's the only I can figure he drew that song from. But that song's called "Not for Sale." Well, I'll tell you what, that's what we need. We need a "Not for Sale" sign on our heart. We need a "Not for Sale" sign on our home. You know, the devil has got so many means of getting our home. Think about how radio works. First of all, it's got to be plugged in. When you plug the radio in, then it's got to be turned on. Then you know what it does? It starts drawing radio waves from the air. The Bible talked about that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. And I believe he's got a whole lot to do with music, and I certainly don't want to even go there. But listen to this. When you let the devil come in your home, when you let him get plugged in, when you let him start bringing his methods or poisons in, there'll start being a difference in you. It'll start showing up. Just like a radio, if it's not plugged in, it can't work. If it ain't turned on, it can't work. And I'll tell you right now, we've got cell phones. We've got telephones. Somebody said, what do they do with them? Well, they get on the gospel and they talk and run down the road and all that right there. And then if that ain't enough, you got Facebook. I'm glad I ain't smart enough to operate Facebook. I'm just not smart enough. Then we got email. I can do some emails. I've done some emails. And then if that ain't enough, then we got texting. One thing I don't like about texting is I don't know how to answer it. I don't know how to even open it up. My friend Donnie House, he told me this morning he got two texts and he called them back and it was like 3 days ago. It was like 3 days ago when he got them. He didn't know it. He called his daughter, Chelsea, and he said, honey, you're more than invited. She said, Dad, I sent that to you 3 days ago. And his brother, Ronnie, he sent him a text also, said, you're going to be there. And anyway, texting, I can't do texting either. But listen, we've got TV piping in. Careful what you let in your house. And then we've got internet coming in. And I don't know what it is. Somebody must put my name on the hit list. I don't know. I get these emails all the time. Let's you and me meet. I don't even want to really elaborate on them. But I'm sitting there thinking, man, that's the day and hour we're living in. Convenience. Let's just you and I run off. I'm going to finish my course, Brother Vernon.
Yeah.
May not be a whole lot about Eddie Wade, but I'll tell you one thing about Eddie Wade. If you get to come to my funeral, I hope my pastor's still alive. I hope you hear him stand up there. And I hope you hear him say, Eddie fought a good fight. Amen. Eddie finished his course. And Eddie kept the faith. I told him, I said, I won't hold this against you, Brother Rick, if it's not true. But if I stayed with the stuff, and I didn't fall out by the way, and I finished my course, I said, I want you to preach my funeral. And I said, if you don't mind, I said, I'd like to use this course. The Bible says in I believe it's Proverbs chapter 25 or 24, verse 10, I believe it is, says, if thou faintest in adversity, thy strength indeed is small. You know, some people, the first ripple that comes, they're ready to bail.
Amen.
And some people, they're going to go down with the ship.
Amen.
I don't know which you are, but I know one thing, it'll show up one way or another.
Amen.
I guess I'll go down with the ship.
Amen.
If the ship I'm on sinks, and it won't, I'm going down with it, Rachel. I ain't bailing.
Amen.
I'm sailing with Jesus.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, buddy, you're in good hands when you're nail-scarred hands. I don't know what's ailing you tonight, but I highly recommend a good dose of Jesus.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, buddy, if you want to go all the way, you just tell the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to go all the way. And I need to be strong in the Lord, the power of His might. Jesus said in John chapter 15, without Him we could do nothing. So many people today, they say, I can't live it. Let the Lord live in you. They say, I can't do it. Paul said he could do all things through Christ that strengthened him. But I'll tell you what, Paul went all the way. He finished his course. Stephen went all the way. Jesus went all the way. Moses went all the way. Solomon went all the way. Boaz went all the way. What about you tonight? How far are you willing to go tonight? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If God requires it tonight, you better be ready. Because if He requires it tonight, you'll have to give it. I told that man over today, over at Judy's, I told him, I said, we live number of days. I said, the sad thing is we don't know the number of them. My daughter got killed in a car wreck. She lived 17 one week. About killed me. She couldn't help it and I couldn't either. But the one that could, she finished her course. And I know where she's at. Carolyn, I'll see her again one day. That's why they call it heaven. David talked about his son by him and Bathsheba. He said, where he is, I'll go. But where I am, he cannot come again. I'm glad there's a place called heaven. I got more family up where I believe than I got down here. One day I'm going home. This ain't home. I told that one lady over there, I said, at the nursing home, I said, don't drive your tent stakes too deep. This ain't home. Get ready to leave out. Because we're getting ready to leave, and we're going to leave in a hurry. And I'll tell you what, buddy, when he calls, we got to be ready to answer and leave. Amen.
Amen.
What about you tonight? Are you on course? Are you going to finish what God gave you to do? Or are you going to bail? Only you can answer that. Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach from the Word of God. Lord, I don't know how this message went. I know how it came to me. I've done the best I could to deliver it as you gave it to me. Father, not knowing what all you've done, I pray, Lord, right now, that anyone, Lord, dear Father, tonight that heard from heaven, from the voice of God, I pray from their heart they'd obey the call of God tonight. And I pray if they're not on course, I pray they begin one tonight. And I pray they'd start tonight from this night living for you. And I pray, Lord, they'd not drift. I pray they'd stay with you all the way. And Lord, whatever you do tonight, I'll just praise you and thank you for you've done so much in my life. Lord, I'm the man I am today because you had a day set aside that I could come to know your Son, Father, and knowing my Lord and Savior. I pray somebody tonight to make that same decision and start a course for God. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Let's all stand tonight.
159.
I don't have part of the journey. I know one thing. We need to finish that journey. Hardly a comfort can afford. Been along to face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? You need to come tonight. You know, you and God know that. I'll be a fool if I thought I knew anything. Needing a friend to save me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Neighbors are kind, I love everyone. We get along in sweet accord. But when my soul needs manna from above, second, Brother Melvin. Let me ask real quickly, every head to be bowed just for a second. There's somebody here tonight, Brother Eddie. I'm not saved. I'm lost. I need prayer. I want to get saved. I want to go to heaven when I die. And I want God to remember me because I don't want to die lost and go to hell. I'm raising my hand tonight that God will see my hand and know that I want mercy. If you raise your hand tonight, I won't save you. But I'll tell you one thing. God will see that hand and He'll know that you want to go to heaven. You can do that tonight. If you don't raise your hand tonight, you're accepting your fate. You may not make it home. You may not see the sunrise in the morning. Is there one here tonight lost? If you're here tonight lost, raise that hand. God will see it. All right. Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
Third verse. Life here is
great. With friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. And a man, where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Needing a friend. Where could I go but to the Lord? Thank you, Brother Melvin, Sister Linda. Anybody got a word on your heart tonight? Well, we'll certainly give an opportunity for you to give that if you got a testimony or a word on your heart tonight. Appreciate everybody coming tonight. If no word on nobody's heart, well, we'll be dismissed. I figured somebody has something on your heart tonight. Thank you, Brother Melvin. Well, let's all stand then. And Brother Bobby, would you please dismiss us? Word of prayer.
Thank you for the word we've heard today, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We pray the ones that are lost, fighting to see, just heal them to deal with, Lord. And go with us as we go to our homes, watch over us and keep us safe. We need them. Send the rest of the holy name.
Amen. Amen.